This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of What the Puck, a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champion, the Washington Capitals. I don't know how long we're going to keep bringing up the fact that they won the Cup in 2018, but given how long it took them to win one, I'm okay with it being something we continue to bring up, at least until they win another one, which is hopefully not the same amount of time between when they became a team and won their first one. I'm not doing the math on how old I will be, but it will be a very long time from now. So, and I'll be much older, but that's besides the point. Now, as you're likely aware by this point, Brandon is not here. He's not joining me this afternoon as I am recording. He's on a much deserved vacation, so it's a solo effort from me. And much like the Caps secondary scoring as of late, I'll do my best to hold down the fort while he's away. So where do we start? Well, let's see. Since we last produced a show, which was Brandon last week, the Caps went on their West Coast road trip through California and Seattle, ended up earning a 5 out of a possible 8 points, which I don't think is actually too bad when you consider that of the 4 games, they were in 2 back-to-back sets. Now, going from Anaheim to LA is pretty easy, but San Jose, then Seattle, probably not as much. I know they're all in the same time zone, so it's not as big of a deal, but you're traveling either way after the game in San Jose. You're probably not getting into Seattle until, I would imagine, well after midnight, right? The game ends, I mean, I can't remember if it was 7 o'clock or 7:30 start Pacific time. So game ends between, 9:40 and a little after 10. So you're probably not leaving the arena until, 11, 11:30. Got to pack everything up, got to change, got to do their post-game exercises, stretches, things like that. Flight's probably not too long. I'm not figuring it out. Probably not that long. I don't know if it's like a private, whatever the case may be in terms of how they're getting their private plane, probably, you're getting in well after midnight, maybe between 12:30 and 1 o'clock at that point. I could be 100% wrong on this. I generally don't know. You're not getting the hotel until a little after that. So you, as a player, you're probably not asleep until 2 to 3 a.m. I mean, like I said, it's the same time zone, but either way, you're going to be tired the next day, even if you're taking your midday nap. They had already been away for almost a week at that point. So I'm not surprised the way that game ended up in terms of them losing to Seattle. It's disappointing, especially a defensive effort, but I wasn't that surprised. However, when I was looking at the schedule after the trip, I started to wonder how things would have gone down if they'd done the trip the other way around and started in Seattle, still had the back-to-backs, both sets of them, but you start in Seattle, then go to San Jose. You get 2 days off, and then you go and you play LA and Anaheim. That the order of those two doesn't really matter. You know, maybe they get 6 or 7 points, if not all 8. You're not quite as exhausted as in Seattle. Maybe you're more tired in San Jose and you don't win 4-0, but do you get more points out of that road trip that way? It's obviously there's no way to know. You know, maybe in the multiverse someone can tell me if we ever get to that point or if that exists. In terms of knowing how the Caps would have done, doesn't really matter. Either way, it is what it is. The Caps are currently second in the Metropolitan, which until I started looking up information for today's show, I actually forgot that stupid division name is what the Caps are in. I don't know if I'm the only person that cares about that. I'm probably the only person that cares. I just don't know if the only person that thinks it's stupid. It's probably going to take another expansion team in the East or relocation or another lockout. God, I hope not. For them to change it to something not dumb. Now, full disclosure, I am not advocating for them to expand with another team, relocate. Actually, relocating is not the worst choice. You know, do you go back to Quebec? Do you go to, probably not Hartford? Do you go to another city? Houston's always talked about in terms of when they've talked about moving teams or adding teams. Let's not do expansion, though. I'm getting really tired of the expansion drafts. Given Seattle wasn't set up quite as well to succeed as Vegas was, especially with other teams figuring out, we got kind of screwed over by McPhee. And you're never going to see something like that again in terms of the way that Vegas was able to go and make that incredible run for their first season. Anyways, I've lost track of where we're talking or what I'm talking about. I definitely don't want any more lockouts, but it's going to take something like that for them to change and come up with better names, and that's just kind of what I want, to not be the Metropolitan, because it just sounds stupid. They could go the NFL. This is completely off topic now. I've gotten completely off track, but it's an episode of What the Puck, and we do that all the time. They could go the NFL route and do four divisions with... Wait, there's eight. So it'd be 4 of 4 in each conference, right? That's how math works. The East could have the North, South, Atlantic, and something else. I'm not sure. You probably have the New York teams and Boston together, which I know kind of doesn't work because you want Boston and Montreal, but whatever. You'd have the Caps probably back with Tampa and Florida and Carolina, which means they're back to being the Southeast, which everyone used to make jokes about calling them the Southeast in the past. But in reality, that would be a really tough division to play in. Tampa's won 2 cups in a row. Florida actually looks pretty good this year, and Carolina looks good this year. Actually, you know what? I don't like this plan anymore. That sucks. That would actually be a really tough division. Well, it would force the Caps to continue to try and be good, which I'm not saying they're not. They are a good team, and they're going to continue to be while they have these players. You could have the North Division being Buffalo and the 3 Canadian teams in Montreal, Toronto, and Ottawa. Sorry, forgot about them for a second. And then I'd mentioned Boston with Rangers, Islanders, New Jersey, which puts Hold on, I'm looking at the standings to see all the teams. Pittsburgh, Columbus, Detroit. I'm forgetting. Oh, Philly. Wait, that doesn't work. Because Philly should be with Pittsburgh. You know what? Screw it. This whole thing doesn't work. And I just wasted like 2 minutes of everybody's time. Sorry, moving on. Road trip. Caps went 2-1-1 with an overtime loss to Anaheim. Oh, overtime loss. Something new and exciting for this team. A win against LA and San Jose. And like I said, that poor defensive performance against Seattle. But I give him a little bit of a pass, I should say. Just because it had to have been exhausted at that point. You know, should you have done better against Seattle, given they're not a very good team? Yeah. But it is what it is. I still think if they'd switched up the road trip, it could have been different. But, you know, schedules. I don't know how they make the NHL schedules. I'm sure there's some sort of... There has to be some sort of technology involved, computers, whatever it is, some program. But God, that's got to be a nightmare in terms of figuring all of that out. Anyways, actually, I made a note to talk about this before we get into the actual team play and their lackluster power play. Real quick, I want to talk about the Kings metallic helmets. When I saw these things originally, and then again when the Caps were playing them, does anyone remember, and I may have made this up, but in the like late 90s or mid or early 90s, some point, I think in the 90s, Major League Baseball came out with some sort of like futuristic style jerseys for all of the teams. I'm pretty sure that happened. Anyways, I feel like the LA helmets would have been a part of that marketing thing in some way. I mean, the jerseys, the Major League Baseball ones, were awful, and these helmets are as well. One of the other first things I thought of was that they look like they should be in some movie from the early to mid 90s, that like Demolition Man, which is a great movie, by the way. They're terrible, and I don't understand them. I feel like if it was brighter in the arena, people would get blinded from the light bouncing off of those things. They're ridiculous. I did see, I think it was Russian Machine, other people were making jokes about Ovechkin's visor from when he first came into the league. Yes, the comparisons are brilliant, and put those helmets with that kind of visor and it would look even more absurd. If you'd asked me prior to the road trip my expectations for how this team would have played, it probably would have been right about where they ended up. What I'm saying is I'll take it. I'll take, 5 points out of 8. It's not great, but it's better than it probably could have been. And it's better than probably what it should have been a couple of years ago, going through Anaheim, which had many years of being a good team. You've got L.A., for a while they were doing cup run after cup run. Sort of on and off. And San Jose's always been a very good team. Caps currently second in the Metropolitan with 27 points, record of 11-3-5. Now, I feel like some of those 5 overtime losses should have been wins, so they probably should have 2 or 3 more points, which will put them tied or ahead of Carolina, who currently sits in first. They're 2 points ahead of the Caps, though they've played 2 less games. It's early in the season, so standings aren't necessarily as big of a deal, but it's something to keep an eye on as you go forward and throughout the season. Now, the Caps are also only 2 points up on New York, that being the Rangers, who have played 1 less game. Columbus and Pittsburgh are 7 points behind the Caps, but that can change quickly. And the Islanders, who are last in the division, who everyone expected to be much better, they played a ton of road games as they opened their new stadium or arena, which looks really cool. I mean, the pictures I've seen, it looks pretty cool. They've played a ton of road games, and they'll likely be making up those standings points with, I would imagine, a lot of home games going forward. But the Caps are doing well at the moment, especially considering their injury issues. And I feel like it was at one point recently, they were playing literally one in Yevgeny Kuznetsov of their normal four centers if everyone was healthy. Normally you'd have Kuznetsov, first line, let's go second line, third line, fourth line. Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Eller, Dowd. Backstrom's been out the entire season. Eller was unavailable due to being in COVID protocols, or still is, I should say. And Dowd has been in and out of the lineup with an injury. And then on top of that, you've got Oshie, who they were kind of sliding into the center spot last season, which I was never a fan of. Not that that it matters, but isn't necessarily the best thing because you like having him on the wing. He was out for a bit. And oh yeah, Anthony Mantha's still out injured. He's out for the foreseeable future. I know there are other teams who have had injury issues, but it's been an impressive run recently for the Caps regarding the players that have been unavailable. Now, it looks like it's starting to turn around. Oshie's back, though. It looks like he tweaked something in the game before the Seattle game. And then Dowd's back, and I believe Backstrom's been skating, but there's no timeline, at least I can find at the moment, for when he's set to return. Now, on the bright side, to an extent, when a player's been out injured, you rely on your healthy scratches, someone to come in. If you have two players, one another, another healthy scratch, to come in and do a job, at least when they're out. If they're out for a game or two or three, be it an injury or suspension, Tom Wilson, you expect someone to come in and do a job. But when you have as many as the Caps do, and you don't carry as many healthy scratches as they have been, you got to place a call to the minors. That's why you have minor league affiliates in Hershey and, to an extent, South Carolina. But I can't remember the last time the Caps had this many young players come up since probably... I mean, it's happened throughout. That's how you bring up younger players. But I can't remember since the mid-2000s fire sale, when Bondra, Jagr, Connor Walchuk, Gonchar, just when they completely rebuilt the team. Ovechkin's first year or two. They really had a lot of young guys that came up and showed that they could make it, couldn't make it, yet like... Tomas Fleischmann, Jakob Klepisch, at some point Carlson, Alsner, as you go along, Backstrom, Marcus Johansson, who they recently played when they were playing against Seattle. I actually forgot he was with the Kraken, which is a name that I'm actually starting to come around. I know, I was not a fan when they first announced it, but I am coming around. It's still silly, and I don't like the S logo, but I'm coming around on the name a little bit. For this Caps team this season, we've seen guys like LaPierre, Janssen Fjällby, Leeson, Pylon, and Protas, who have played for the Caps. These are all young players, some of them making their NHL debuts with the team this year, and a lot of them are producing, be it they're playing, producing offensively, or they're producing playing solid defense and as sort of checking line guys. They're all producing in some way, shape, or form. Now, I'm not mentioning Connor McMichael because I felt like he was expected to be a part of the team this offseason. But he's also, as he's getting more and more comfortable, all these guys are getting more and more comfortable the more time they're getting. The only sort of outlier to that might be LaPierre, and that's only because he's 19, and he had an amazing start to the season in that game against the Rangers. I don't think you can really honestly have predicted that being the case for his first game, not to mention that set such a high bar and a high mark for him that it would have been almost impossible for him to keep that up and to remain on the team. And I mean, still, it made sense to send him down. You give him another season in the juniors, watch how he does, and then he's prepared for next season, where I think he's going to get a roster spot next year. I don't see, I think he's going to go and he's going to dominate. He's probably going to get to play, for Canada in the juniors tournament coming up, December, January, and, continue his stellar run. And we might see him at the end of the season if they're still... I think this is still allowed in Hershey and maybe even the Capitals getting as a black ace kind of thing, depending on how far Hershey goes in their playoffs, assuming they make the playoffs in the AHL. But having young players that can come up and produce in some way, like I said, putting up points or secondary scoring, playing solid defensive games. It's what good teams need when it comes to injuries. And, you know, we don't know if any of these players are going to be stars or full-time NHLers or part-time NHLers or just getting cups of coffee every once in a while in the NHL, be it with the Caps or another team. But what they're doing right now is they're providing depth for when the team needs it most with all of these injuries that they're having to deal with. At one point, I was going through the Caps. This was earlier before I started recording. I was going through the Caps roster in terms of who's playing and trying to remember all the young guys. And I actually forgot at one point that Anthony Mantha was a part of this team because these young guys are stepping up. You get guys like Leeson and Protas who play, you know, pretty well when they've been, you know, asked to do more. Jonsson Fjällby's getting more comfortable and maybe getting more and more ice time as he goes forward. You know, I expect a number of these guys to go down once everyone comes back and is healthy. But it's nice to know that you have these young players who can come and step up and play a role for this team when somebody's out. And when you have older players, your body doesn't heal as quickly as it does when you're younger. You know, when you're 21, 22, in your mid-20s, your body heals much faster when you're in your mid to late 30s, which a number of the core group of players in Ovechkin, in Backstrom, in Oshie, in Eller, in Carlson-ish, knock on wood, he's, you know, been relatively healthy. These are players that their bodies don't heal as quickly. And when you're a professional athlete and playing a professional sport like hockey, football, baseball, give you sort of basketball, you know, you're beating up your soccer. You're beating up your body every season. By the end of the season, the playoffs, you don't have anybody that feels great until they lift the cup. Then all their injuries don't matter anymore. Unless you're Backstrom with his thumb and you need help holding the cup up. You don't want to drop it in front of everybody. That'd be really bad. So everybody has injuries as you go through. And when you're a young guy, you can heal. You tend to heal quicker. And so knowing you have these young guys that can step up as a team that is a bit older is a fantastic thing because you're not going to go through an entire season, and the Caps already haven't. But no team goes through an entire season without injuries. Some have more than others. And I'm sure there's some sort of statistical analysis somewhere that shows that teams with older players have more man games lost due to injury. Don't know if I said that right, but I'm going with it. Anyways, these young guys are providing depth is kind of the point I'm trying to get at here. And now they're providing depth, but they're putting a little bit of pressure, be it good or bad, on head coach Laviolette and the general manager McClellan to make tough decisions when these older players come back from injury. Mantha's not that old. He's like 27, I think at this point, 27, 28. He, you know, when he comes back, he's going to get his roster spot. Backstrom, obviously, he's going to get a spot. Oh, she's in and out of the lineup right now with injuries. But, you know, these guys are going to get their spots back. But it adds a little bit more of a headache, a good one, if there is such a thing, to the coach and the general manager to think about, you know what, we may be able to move out, you know, one or two of these older players to have a young guy come in who's earned a spot in the NHL. Now, I was listening to an Arsenal podcast. And I know, I listen to other teams' podcasts. Calm down, Brandon. I was listening to an Arsenal podcast, and they were talking about how, obviously I'm a follower of the team, supporter, and they're talking about how young defensive players can cost you points because they make mistakes. And they're making the comparison in terms of having young defensive players. I think Arsene Wenger was talking about that at one point. I'm sure Mikel Arteta is doing the same. But then also young offensive players can cost you points as well because they don't necessarily have the composure or the experience to be able to score. You're going to see the same thing with young players in the NHL in every sport. Having young players can cost you because they make young player mistakes. They don't have the experience. They get more nervous on a certain play than you might be with a more veteran player. I remember when the San Antonio Spurs, which is my favorite NBA team, them and the Washington team that I'm not calling them by their name because it's stupid. When the San Antonio Spurs were, I can't remember one of their, not the first ring because that was when Avery Johnson was there, but when Tony Parker was in his first one, I think it was maybe not against the Knicks. I'm forgetting who it was. Doesn't matter. I do remember that he was in, they had a timeout. Popovich called a timeout and you could see that Parker's hands were shaking a little bit. And it's because he was nervous. You're going to get that with young players. This is very early in his career. You're going to get that with young players. They get nervous. They get anxious. They, you know, they do try and they're too focused instead of just kind of, You know, they what's the phrase? They grip the stick too tight when they should just be relaxed and playing their game and doing what they need to do. And that's just going to happen when you have young players. But young players gain experience. And over time, that nervousness, they become more calm. They become more relaxed. They become more comfortable. And giving these guys an opportunity now to get this experience only helps them going forward. So while it's not great that they have young, you know, players are injured and out of the lineup, like Backstrom, like Oshie, like Mantha, it's not the worst thing for the organization because you're getting to see what you have in some of these young guys who are going to make this roster, if not this season, next season, and be more consistent contributors. Now, speaking of older players, and he's certainly not old by any means given, I think last time I checked the roster, I am older than every player on the team, which hurts me a little bit. But I was a bit surprised, and Brandon announced this last week, but I was a bit surprised when the Caps are not announced because he's not a part of the organization, but he talked about this. I was surprised when the Caps signed or re-signed Nick Dowd to a new three-year deal. Cap hit's not bad, 1.3 for a fourth-line center. But I was surprised because at some point you're going to have to give minutes to more minutes to when everyone's healthy to McMichael, LaPierre, Leeson, or Protas. You're going to have to give them consistent minutes as long as they've shown that they deserve that opportunity. You know, whether it's not this season, next. You know, at some point, they're going to want to play or at least try to play in the NHL. And if it's not with the Capitals, you know, do you start to make fuss and start to cause a problem in the organization saying, either play me or trade me. I deserve an opportunity to play in the NHL, which they might. Give me that opportunity by putting me in. And if you don't have a spot because you're signing a 31-year-old, I think it's 31-year-old, to a three-year deal, given he's played very well. I like Nick Dowd, and it's a great cap hit. But it makes me question, where do you have a spot? Backstrom still got a few more years on his deal, and you don't trade a guy like him. Kuznetsov, who I was calling to be traded in the offseason, certainly shut me up. He's playing great. He's currently second on the team in points. He's got 22 points in 19 games. That was not the Kuznetsov we saw last year. This is the Kuznetsov we need to see more often. He's doing a great job so far this season. Eller, he's starting to, you know, he was picking up his game until he went in sort of the COVID protocols, but he's probably scored the most important goal in franchise history when he put the rebound behind Marc-Andre Fleury. So that's a tough guy to lose, at least from a fan's point of view. I'd hate to see the day that Eller goes. And he's typically productive, so I'm fine with him being on the team. So my original thought was that a guy like Dowd is the one you move out, but apparently that's not the case. You know, you let him go in the offseason, you give one of the young guys his minutes. So only time's going to tell in terms of what they're going to do. And given we're only 19 games in, there's no real need to worry about it. But I like some of this, talking about this, you know, offseason general manager, player signing kind of thing, which I always find weird that Brandon calls me coach. But either way, it's not a big deal at the moment. It's just an interesting thought. However, the one thing that is a problem at the moment is their freaking power play and how god-awful it is. Now, I know a number of their power play stars are out. Normally, you have Backstrom, you have Oshie, you have Mantha. But to be 22nd in the NHL is pathetic for this team. They're behind Seattle, who I honestly couldn't tell you one player who's on their power play besides Giordano, and I'm only guessing he's on theirs. That was a little mean, but I'm going with it. Actually, you know whose power play is last that I found this interesting? Pittsburgh's. Now, missing Crosby and Malkin for significant periods of time is probably going to do that to you. But the Caps are currently scoring at a 16.7% of their power... On, I should say, 16.7% of their power plays. That's terrible! They're behind Chicago, who's not good this season. Okay, the worst team points-wise right now. If you took the standings and just put everybody, not by conference, not by division, by the whole league, the worst team right now in points is Ottawa, who have 9 points after 16 games. Their power play is better than the Capitals. Ottawa, they're rebuilding. They're not very good. Although they just scored 5 against, I was just watching their game last night. Who were they playing? Colorado. Their jerseys, the blue is, I don't know, it seems feels that like brighter blue on the, okay, I've gotten off topic again. My point is their power play sucks, the Caps. I don't understand how their power play is this bad. They're too stagnant. They have two moves. You find Ovechkin in his office, or you find Oshie in the slot. That appears to be about it. If you're an opposing team and you shut down those two opportunities, the Caps don't seem to know what to do. They take shots from bad angles or from the point, but they don't crowd the net enough. So it's really easy for the goalie to be like, there it is. There's the puck. Let me just stop this real quick. All right. Nobody's scoring on me. I'm putting this on the coaching staff. It's not on the players. You know, I'll give them a little leeway, a little bit. Given that their typical power play is pretty good. But Blaine Forsythe has got some real work to do. He's the guy in charge of their power play. I also find it interesting on the Caps website, which I know the NHL controls or whatever. But on the Caps website, it says that he is specifically in charge of, I believe, the centers and the power play. But Scott Arneil and the other dude's name I'm forgetting, who's boys with LaViolette, Kevin McCarthy? Is that right? I don't know. They don't mention what they're in charge of, which I found to be weird. Anyways, Forsythe's got some work to do. He's been with his team for too long for their power play at this point to be this poor. He should know how to fix this. All right, he's been with the team for 16 years, 13 as an assistant coach. Need to warm his seat up a little bit. If you can fix the power play, you're going to watch his team start to get points even quicker than they're doing already. And assuming they make the playoffs, getting goals from your special teams can be what keeps your season going or what sends you to the golf course early. All right? Shift players around. Keep the defensive players moving. Move your players, which keeps them moving, which ideally opens up space for an Ovechkin one-timer or for someone else in the slot. Move players into different positions, which I have to imagine would confuse the other team enough that someone can sneak into an open spot. All right? Their lackluster power play right now is probably my biggest concern with this team, and it's something they need to fix right now. Now, in some better news, Ilya Samsonov was named the second star of the week after posting back-to-back shutouts. That's 56 shots that he saw and 56 saves. Now, I said before that I thought, not today, but in a prior show, I said that I thought Vanecek was clear number one, and I still think that's the case. But I think the distance between Vanecek and Samsonov is not quite as big as what it was. And I think Samsonov is going to have to keep putting up better, solid numbers, and he's going to have to prove it that he can be consistent, because that's been one big thing with him, is that he's not consistent. And if he can do that, my guess is he becomes the number one well before the season is over. And I think that's what the team wants. They want Samsonov to be their guy. But he needs to show his consistency. And if he can do that, I think he becomes the guy. So I think at this point, that pretty much covers everything I have to talk about in terms of Caps world. You know, you can always tell a difference between a show that Brandon and I do and a show that I do as a solo effort, because I'm less interested in the editing aspect of a podcast. So when I screw up, I'm just going with it. Move on. So we're going to take a quick look at the minors, as Hershey is currently third in the Atlantic Division with a record of 7-5-3, good for 17 points. I can't imagine it's the easiest thing to consistently or constantly have some of your better players moving back and forth between Hershey and DC, but that's how it works, I guess, when you're a minor league affiliate. Now, they're still doing well and hopefully keep it up. South Carolina, on the other hand, is currently last in the South Division with 10 points after 10 games. Now, they're only 7 points back of first place Florida, so it's not a huge mountain to climb, but their season's probably not sort of the way they wanted. They have certainly some work to do. Now, let's jump into some quick bits of NHL news that we may have missed in the past few weeks. First one being that Anaheim Executive Vice President and General Manager Bob Murray resigned a few weeks ago. They actually announced this like 3 hours after Brandon and I were done recording 2 weeks ago. Fenway Sports, who own Major League Baseball's Red Sox and the Premier League's Liverpool, are in advanced talks to purchase a controlling stake in the Penguins. I did not see that coming. The Pens are currently were the 15th most valuable franchise in the NHL at $845 million. Former Capital Troy Brower announced his retirement from the NHL after 14 seasons. He spent 4 years with the Caps, with one of his more memorable goals being the game winner in the Winter Classic against his former team in Chicago. So congratulations to Brower on an outstanding career. And finally, the U.S. women's national team defeated Canada 3-2 in overtime in the third matchup of the My Y Tour on Monday. The MyY Tour will continue. Actually, I believe this was last Monday. The MyY Tour will continue on today, Tuesday, November 23rd, against Canada in Ottawa at 7 p.m. The U.S. hopes to even up the series as Canada has won the first two games. So that's it. That's the show for this week. I was going to a solo show being like, well, it's going to be about 8 to 10 minutes. And then somehow I've been recording for just about right now. It's half an hour, according to Audacity. But that's it for the show this week. Thanks, as always, for listening. Now, if you've enjoyed the show, do us a favor. When you have a moment between the turkey and pumpkin pie, leave us a quick review wherever it is that you listen to the show. The more reviews we get, I think this is how it works. Ideally positive reviews, by the way. The higher the show is placed and get noticed by others. I think that's true. I don't know. Even if it isn't, help us out. Tell your friends and family or random strangers you meet on the street. Tell them about the show, that they can learn more by going to our Facebook page at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Now, if you're so inclined, go ahead and find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. I'm on there talking about all kinds of sports-related things, from Caps hockey to Arsenal Football Club to the Bills and the Washington Football Team and other sports teams as well. Speaking of which, if you haven't, go ahead and check out... I'm not a fan of Bayern, but I do respect them a little bit because I like a number of their players. But Robert Lewandowski is doing it again. He is arguably one of the best players over the last 5 to 10, 5 years or so, who doesn't get enough credit because he's not flashy and because he doesn't play for a team in England or in Spain. He'd be a bigger name if he had a bigger personality, but that's just kind of sports in general. I don't know. Now, I don't have as much time to spend on Twitter with a toddler at home and another small one on the way, but I throw things out there on the interwebs when I can from time to time. And you can also find Brandon on Twitter at BrandoCash. And if you've enjoyed our show normally, go ahead and check out his other podcasts, The Call, wherever you might listen to podcasts. They talk about, he and his buddy Josh talk about the Baltimore Ravens. Meh. So that's it. And if you're listening, I hope you've made it this far. Thank you. I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving to our American listeners. And to those outside the U.S., have a great Thursday. Talk to you soon.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.